the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. Depends on what you want to spend your money on. Really. Let me show you another passage that shows how when Paul worked, and he gave them that example, how they should eat their own bread and work and so on, it wasn't just to work. The glory wasn't in just in working. In 1 Thessalonians, back in 1 Thessalonians again, in chapter 2, you got to remember that they were establishing the church when they were in Thessalonica. But they worked, their job was a tool, their job was a servant in their ministry to temporarily support them until the ministry could and would support them. The proof of this too is the fact that they still didn't work as much as they needed to, even though it sounds like a lot, worked night and day, labored in hardship. I mean, it sounds like these guys were working double shifts, right? They were still preaching the gospel. And the fact is, in Philippians chapter 4, we'll talk about the fact that right from the beginning, that the church in Philippi was supporting and seeing to Paul's needs all the time. They were sending Paul money. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it'll say in verse 5, "For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed." You know, putting on a mask. But really, they're greedy. God is witness. "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. Even though as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God," that's the point, "but not only that, but also our own lives, because you become very dear to us." What's the proof of that? Verse 9. "For you recall, brethren, our labor and our hardship." We didn't just preach for you, we worked for you. "And labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." They worked night and day so that they might proclaim the gospel of God, and thereby not be a burden. Think about it. And so, do you think of yourselves like that? Do you see yourself in there? You see, oh, I see Kent, you know, I see the preacher, I see Pat, I see maybe Carolyn in there now. But I don't see myself in there. Why not? Why not? Why don't you see yourself now as in your job, you just do that 8-hour thing, you know, you do your stint, you get out, you support yourself, so now you can preach the word. While you're at the job, you preach the word. You do what you can to preach the word. A job merely becomes a servant. It merely becomes a tool. Your career is no longer engineering, medicine, electronics, mechanics, cleaning, landscape. That's no longer a career. It's merely a tool to temporarily support you until the ministry will. In Acts chapter 18, and beginning with verse 1, it'll talk about, remember Priscilla and Aquila? Priscilla and Aquila, if you read the end of chapter 18, are the Christian missionary couple who converted Apollos. Priscilla and Aquila were the ones who in fact hosted a house church. And it talked about in the Roman letter, in the book of Romans. Priscilla and Aquila also talked about in the book of Corinthians, to the Corinthians. Priscilla and Aquila were a good, faithful, evangelistic gospel team, husband and wife. And you'll read about them later on where they take Apollos aside in verse 26 of chapter 18 and talk to him, explaining to him the way of God more accurately. They were a missionary team. They even traveled with Paul. And yet they had a house meeting in their church, They had a house the church met in. But their goal in their career was not making tents, and that's what they were by trade. In Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And these things he, that's Paul, left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come to Italy with his wife, Priscilla." I wonder what they came for. Oh, they wanted to see, you know, they were sightseeing. No. They were preachers. They were evangelizers. Full-time ministry for the Lord. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them. And because he was of the same trade, Paul? Yeah. That's what I was talking about before. You see, even though he's a Pharisee and a doctor of the law, he had to learn a trade as a Jewish young man growing up. And that trade, his trade, was tent making. Because he was in the same trade, and he stayed with them, and they were working. For by trade, they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. What was he doing? What does it just say he was doing? He was supporting his ministry, right? He was preaching and persuading, and when he needed to, he was making tents. It was his ministry. Is that what it says? That's what it says. Read it. And so that's what he's talking about in chapter 20 when he talks to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20. In verse 32 he says, "Now I commend you to the grace of God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these things, with these hands ministered to my own needs. And not to my only," he says, "but to the men who are with me. And to others, to the men who are with me." Paul worked not only to support himself, but his entourage, the gospel team that was with him. And has that really been the concept of your job now? To support yourself in your ministry and those who are with you. Merely to establish the Lord's church. And to get the church to the point where they in turn would support you. Not only there, but elsewhere. Paul did that. Paul will say to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians, that he robbed other churches. That is, he took from them support in order to preach to the Corinthians. Oh, he was supported. But when he needed to, he worked. And that's the place for your job in your ministry. And that's it. There is the glory now in having a landscaping business, Artie. That's the glory. The fact that it could support the eternal work of gospel preaching. There's the glory, and it's only temporary. There's the glory in being an engineer. In that it supports the eternal work of gospel preaching. Your own, as well as those who are with you. When is it not a glory? Either when that's not the concept, or when you continue spending 80, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours in that job when it's no longer necessary because your ministry could have been developed into one that would support you so that you could do that all the time. What would you rather do? What is the right thing to do? To preach and teach all the time? Or to spend 40 or 50 hours of the week's most valuable time doing something else? You tell me what makes sense in light of the Word. The Bible just clearly teaches in Galatians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, that let those who are taught share all good things with him who teaches. It is therefore not wrong for you to teach and to preach, and to, when it's necessary, exercise your right. Paul didn't always exercise it. In Corinth and in Thessalonica, he did not exercise that right to the extent that he could have. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians, he'll apologize for sinning against them in not exercising that right. says, for in what respect did we treat you an inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me, it is wrong. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry for sinning against you, but not taking your money. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, he'll just go ahead and say, for the one who is taught, share all good things with him who teaches. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. God's not fooled by those whole things. Whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. If you sow to the flesh, if you sow to your own flesh, you take your money and you just spend it on yourself, your career and your money goals are your goals, you're going to, from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Don't lose heart in doing good. You'll reap in due season if you don't grow weary. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've been over that whole passage before. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7, well actually verse 6 will say, or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Now they worked in the gospel, but you understand what he's talking about working now. He's talking about secular work. Because the Corinthians are a bunch of money-hungry, stingy misers. Fleshly and carnal to the core. Well, like a lot of us in this world and on Long Island. Stingy, we are. And he says, and it's so embarrassing. Can't you see how feel embarrassed he is to have to talk like this? I'm embarrassed for him. He says, do only Barnabas have this right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense, huh? Going along with that thought, I'm just going to give you the passage. You can write it down. You don't have to turn there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verses 3 and 4, verse 3 will say, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. What he's saying is, look, your goal needs to be, then, what does Paul's goal need to be? What's the optimum, the best thing? Is if you're going to be a soldier for Christ, and when we sing a song, Soldiers of Christ, blah, 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 you know, we sing that song. How many of you think, oh, I hope the preacher gets up now. He's the soldier around here. Or do you think of yourself, yeah, I'm a soldier too. Yeah, me too. Well, no soldier enlisted in active service entangles himself in worldly affairs, the affairs of everyday life, that he might please the one who enlisted him. And so the optimum goal is to get untangled from that job of that responsibility of everyday affairs of life so that you can please the one who enlisted you. He says, what soldier therefore serves at his own expense? Why? Well, because if you have to support yourself, you can't do a very good job of soldiering, can you? How many of us want an army in America where all of them had to be carpenters and plumbers and everything else during the day and then just show up for soldiering at night? To defend the nation. Come on, raise your hands high now. Self-supported army. They have to be a soldier the old-fashioned way. They earn it. All right? You want to do that way? Will they be ready to fight for you? How many of you want a police force that they got to come in and be policemen after they work an eight-hour day? Well, guess what? The Lord doesn't want gospel preachers that have to work an eight-hour day. Otherwise, then they come in and do some gospel preaching. And God is not willing that any should be lost. God is not willing that any should perish. And so therefore, you have to be not willing that any should perish. And work toward a goal. Who plants a vineyard does not eat the fruit of it. Let's just skip on down. The fact is, he says in verse 11, if we sowed spiritual things to you, is it a big deal if we should reap material things from you? Huh? What's the big deal? Is it too much? You know, or excuse me. You can just hear him saying that. That's why in verse 14 it just says, so also the Lord directed. not suggested. Many of your versions have suggested in there, scratch them out. It don't belong in there. No version has ever translated it suggested except in our own minds. The Lord directed that those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. Is every Christian expected to proclaim the gospel in some way? And ultimately, to as many people as possible. Well, the Lord directed that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. Period. Period. And the Lord directed it as such. And so that's my goal, because I love my ministry. I love doing what I have to do, what I love to do. And I've gotten over a lot of the guilt feelings about getting paid to do it. And I want you to know, it's the best job you can do. And it makes doing any other job temporarily in order to support this bearable. You know, if I hate the job I'm working at least I can think, well, I can't wait till I get home. I can do some heavy gospel preaching. I can't wait till I got to get into that study and I'm going to share this with that person or whatever. I'm going to go to this Bible talk and I'm really going to get into it, because that's what you're supporting. Your job becomes merely a means of supporting you in your ministry. How many of you really have thought that you have your own ministry? I would like to see each of you, actually, you have a mission. You're on a mission from God. And your mission is to establish your own congregation. Your own house church. Within the Lord's church. I hereby commission everybody here with their own ministry. Really, Jesus did when you became Christians, okay? I'm just sorry for not telling you sooner. We're putting it plain enough. And you have a responsibility to fulfill your ministry. As Paul said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Colossians 4 verse 17. And say to Archippus, and say to Al Marshall, and say to Bob Carr, and say to Dale Ford, and say to Bob Brown, and say to Adeline Kramer, and say to Janet Lemp, and say to Elita Kudal, and say to Troy Matthews, and say to every other Christian, take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I'll bet you haven't thought of it like that. Man, I can just get this. You ever think of Amway? And you get on. Where do people make money in Amway? I mean, if you're going to get into sales, would you like to be at the bottom and always stay there and always be pressured to have to get 400 sales a week in order to make a certain commission and that's it? You know what's attractive about Amway? Is that you're supposed to try to get many, 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 many more people under you doing the same thing you're doing. Getting many, many more people under them. And you just get a little piece of it. But it's to the point where you work to do that. See, you're not working to sell so much as you're working to get other people to sell, to other people to sell, to other people to sell. To where you're reproducing yourself. It's not enough just to be a salesman. You have to reproduce yourself. To sell and to reproduce. It's our job not just to share the gospel or get into Bible studies with people, but to reproduce ourselves in others. That's what I'm trying to do. I want each of you to do what I do, full time. To get paid for it just like I do or better. And it's better than Amway because what we're offering is better than Amway. But it's the same principle. It's the same principle. Each of you has a responsibility now to start your own congregations, really. Within the South Face Church of Christ, your own house churches. And that's why when he wrote to the church at Rome, he said, salute the church that meets at that house. Salute the church that meets over there. Salute the church that meets at this house. Salute the church. There's one congregation with many congregations within it. You have a responsibility to start your own congregation. Now you will understand and appreciate how difficult my job is when you start doing that. But you will also be successful. And I don't. And you won't even have to worry about, well, how's he doing in his ministry? You're going to be absorbed in what it takes to do your ministry. This is exciting. You can actually work to justify getting full-time pay for it eventually. And it can be within 6 months to a year. You know, when they support somebody from Boston, they send them out to a mission field. They usually send them in teams of 18. And usually one or maybe two couples are fully supported. The rest of the 18 have to find work and jobs to support them in their ministry. But many of those, after 1 year, are fully supported. Those that receive support from Boston when they're sent out are only given 1 year support. And that's it. No extensions, no reprieves, that's it. And they have 1 year to get that congregation to be self-supporting. In other words, to justify themselves being full-time. And talk about pressure. Let me tell you, if that was the kind of pressure that you were under, you think you'd be inviting more people to your Bible talk? So what's our problem? We're not trying to justify our spiritual existence here. We're not trying to justify any ministries by our jobs. If you thought that your job depended on the number of people that came to a Bible talk and got converted, would you invite more people? Would you? Would you make 25 your goal in a week to invite rather than 5? Especially knowing that statistically it takes 10 invites to get one yes, and it takes 10 yeses to get one person who will show up. That means it takes every bit of 100 invites to get a visitor to come. And that's why you'll see every so often you'll get a visitor, but it works out to about every 100 invites that you make. Now how many weeks at 5 invites a week does it take to get 100? 20 weeks! So every 6 months you get a visitor. And a lot of you will say, yeah, that's what's been working out. That's right! Imagine if your job depended on it. Well, let me tell you the way I'm praying. It does. I just want you to put yourself under the pressure of accepting the mantle of the full-time ministry and trying to justify your existence and your job's existence at this time. And that you will live to save souls. Not only your own, but them that hear you. As Timothy was told. Exciting! To know that you have people that you are getting ready to appoint as elders, deacons, within your house church. Can I do that? Well, you can get them ready and I'll come over and do it. We each have different ministries or different ways that it's expressed. Wouldn't that be great if 4 elders came out of your ministry? What ministry? The one you've just been appointed to. The one that you've been commissioned to the day you got baptized, but nobody ever told you about it. You got a ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Take heed to it, the ministry that you receive from the Lord, that you might fulfill it. Now your jobs have taken on a whole new meaning today. Your career goals have changed. Some of you had to chuck 4, 5, 6, 8 years of education. Now it's no longer the goal, it's merely a tool. You ever looked at the Boston Bulletin? See how many deacons there are and full-time evangelists with the word doctor in front of them? Doctor this, doctor that, doctor this, doctor that. Degrees from Harvard, MIT. What do? I make about $20,000 a year preaching. What is he asking for? I'm asking you to chuck worldliness and cut the demons out of your life. Clean your house. Get your house in order and fill it with the Word of God. And the mission that he gives you. Be on a mission from God. Fulfill your ministry. And sow in hope of reaping. Because the Bible also God directed that those who sow should sow in hope of reaping. And 1 Corinthians 9 says that was talking about money. Not just souls, but souls that will support you so that you can do to win more souls. You need to preach the gospel to win souls in order to win enough souls to support you so you can preach more gospel and win more souls. The goal is souls. Not just money, or you'll preach to the point where you get a comfortable living and everything will plateau out. That's not what you're supposed to do. So each of you, I want you to work with a quiet fashion with your own hands. Support yourselves and others in the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Meet the needs of others. Use your jobs as a tool in the service of your ministries now. Each of you has a full-time ministry. Some people have to work in order to support that full-time ministry. But there's no such thing as a part-time ministry in Jesus, is there really? Not a faithful Christian. Not a biblical ministry. Either it's full-time or it's not. A ministry. Either it's a ministry or it's not.
Well, I'm a part-time sharer.
Well, that sounds like I'm a part-time Christian. I'm a Lily and Holly Christian. I'm an Easter and Christmas Christian. I'm a Sunday morning Christian.
Well, you're not a Christian.
And you haven't been born again. And that's what I want to ask you to do today. If you haven't been born again, you need to be born again. If you haven't crucified the old man of sin, you need to crucify that old man or that old woman of sin. You need to become a new creation. If any man is in Christ Jesus, if any person is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, including your goals, your career, your objectives, your jobs. Have you been willing that some would perish? You need to repent. And you need to accept the glorious, exciting challenge of tomorrow. And there's where faith is. Somebody says, well, I don't know. I've spent my whole life playing this. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Great. Now we walk by faith and not by sight in Christ Jesus, right? Now you know what the passage is talking about. It's not talking about closing your eyes as you walk in the church building. It's not talking about walking around in the dark at night when you're trying to get from the door, the light switch to the bed. It's talking about this. Not knowing what tomorrow brings, but that's okay. I'm holding on to Jesus' hand. God before me, who can be against me? Will you faithfully accept the challenge and the commission today to become a preacher and a teacher of His Word? I don't care. We're not talking about ordaining the women in the office of evangelist. We can't do that. It's unbiblical. But you women can be evangelizers. You can still bring the good news, and you must. Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers by trade, and they took Apollos aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. And they went here and there and preached the word, and they had the church meet in their house. They were a team. Men and women are both responsible for this job. I can't do it alone. Can you imagine if five people really worked like their Bible talk was going to support them in 6 months? If you really wanted your Bible talk to support you financially in 6 months, and you knew that you weren't going to eat after 6 months, would you invite more people? I bet you would. I know it, because when this congregation was threatened with loss of support from outside support, and we needed to impress Claremore, what did we do, people who knew Claremore? What did we do then? We impressed them, didn't we? We got the visitors in there. Oh yeah, and then last year when Brownfield was going to come, and they were going to check out whether they were going to support our work and see whether it was worthy of support, and we needed to impress them with seeing a lot of bright new faces and a lot of people and really be impressed with our singing. When they came up from Texas, did we impress them? We sure impressed them. And we jumped from 18 and 20 in attendance to 35 in attendance in a couple of weeks because we had to impress them. Which only shows that we can do when we are motivated. And what was the motivating factor in that, really? Support. And what did Paul say here? It should be souls, but it doesn't have to be souls alone. Those who sow should sow in hope of reaping. God knows you're materialistic. He knows you're fleshly and you're carnal, and you have need of these things, he said. And therefore he says it's okay to have that as a motivation too. Sow in hope of reaping. Sow in hope of getting a living out of it. Making it a job. Make winning souls a career. How many of you would like to read your Bible, have quiet times, prayer times, read your vision list, ask others to do vision lists, meet with people and encourage them, sing songs, and be able to do that full time so you wouldn't have to work any other kind of job and be supported better than what you are now? How many does that sound attractive to? Sounds pretty attractive to me. Then work for it. Go for it. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you need to repent, come forward as we stand and sing.